out there, because your day is coming. Amen. He knew that if I hang on in here, if I die right here, that's okay, because the same God that sent me to die is the same one that's going to raise me up. I wish I had a witness here. Oh yeah, he said he endured the cross, and guess what? He despised the shame. He wasn't worried about being made ashamed. He wasn't worried about him being stripped naked before people. He wasn't worried about that, because what was more important was him dying before people. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He said that he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew what his place was. He knew where he was going. And see, that's the problem with us and in our generations. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're headed. I wish I had somebody that could sing along with me that song that we used to sing in the 70s. Ain't no stopping us now. We got to know where we're going. If we don't know where we're going, we're in trouble. But let's look back at where we've been. We don't need to go backwards. We need to go forward. Amen. We need to keep progressing, because if we go backwards and we keep going backwards and we lose the ground that we've gained all these 40, 50, and 60 years, it's no telling where we'll end up. Do I have any witnesses here? And so therefore, I want to keep pressing forward. Nobody jumps in a race and then start backpedaling and going the other way, but we need to go forward to the finish line. I'm pressing on the upward way. Come on and say amen. And new heights I'm gaining every day. Oh yeah. Then he says, look, let's go back to the scripture. He said that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to let you know what he's doing over there. What he's doing at the right hand of the throne of God, he's sitting there, and the devil, first of all, is accusing you of what you did do.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Springtime, and that means spring revival at the Pilgrim Baptist Church, 410 Solomon Street, with host pastor Reverend Tom Hamilton. Special guest revivalist will be the renowned Reverend Dr. John Montgomery.
Oh, the enemy deceived her, and he told her that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye will not surely die. And she said that the serpent beguiled her, and Adam said, the woman you gave me messed me up. And God said, no, the problem is you have both misunderstood and misrepresented.
Dr. John Montgomery Sr., pastor of the Greater King David Missionary Baptist Church of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has international TV and radio ministry heard daily locally in Florida and the Bahamas. Revival begins Wednesday, April 9th through Friday, April 11th at 7 p.m. nightly. Dr. Montgomery is a dynamic preacher, teacher that has led many to salvation and through the word has enhanced the lives of countless men and women. Come and be blessed by the preaching word of Dr. John Montgomery at the Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Tom Hamilton, 410 Solomon Street, Wednesday, April 9th through Friday, April 11th, 7 p.m. nightly. Hope to see you there.
From the Gospel of St. Matthew's, chapter 27. Almost a look, if you will, at verse 62. The record is, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher, the sepulcher, be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulcher or the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to tell you what you already know, but I want to tell you again. There is an empty tomb. There is an empty tomb. When we look at this word, we know that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And the reason we know it was a borrowed tomb, if we would back up just a few verses in the 57th verse of the same 27th chapter, it says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who was also himself one of Jesus' disciples. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Verse 59 says, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And here it is in verse 60, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now, this is where the word reveals that it is a borrowed tomb, because Joseph had this tomb hewn out of a rock for himself. He was a wealthy man, a rich man, and he knew that there was going to be a time when death would come, and so he had already made preparations for his own burial. And being one of the rich folk, he did what was uncommon in that day. He had one of the most beautiful dug or hewed out stone graves made for himself. And so the record is clear. He didn't do this for Jesus. He had done it for himself. But Jesus died before he did. And so he used it for Jesus's burial. Now, one of the things that Joseph recognized and realized was this. Though he built this tomb, he had it hewn out of a rock for himself. He believed Jesus that he wouldn't need the tomb he made for himself very long. So he had no problem with allowing him to borrow his tomb because he had already said, when I die, 3 days later, I'll rise again. Now, if he rises again, it means the tomb will be empty. Listen at this, because I want you to understand this, because the one who came to bring life, who said in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life, in the portion of that verse, and that more abundantly, is now dead. This is not the end of the gospel story, though, that Jesus ends in the grave. And to those of you who've been in church any time, you know that it's a celebration every time we come to this point, because it is in this reiterating of the fact that Jesus got up out of that grave on the third day, gives to us hope in every situation we face, in every difficulty we deal with. We have the reassurance that if he is the first fruit of them that slept, that is raised, we too have the assurance that death will not have eternal power over us. So I want you to see three things, because there are three views of the tomb, and I want us to see: one, there is a secure tomb; two, there is a shaken tomb; and thirdly, there is a special tomb. Let's go in the Word and look this up. Verse 62 deals with the secure tomb. Because again, it says, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now here is the request of the Jews. Look at it in verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse, listen at this, than the first. Now, one of the things that they are acknowledging is what has been done is an error. Yes. Yes. And what they have messed up on would be worse if Jesus gets up out of the grave. And so because they recognize that though they have done what they have done underhandedly, and though they have succeeded in him dying, though they thought they have killed him when he's already made clear, no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay my life down, I can take it up again. I will take it up again. And so all of this has come to pass now. And yet now they are disturbed in their spirit. Because Jesus is now dead, but something isn't right. Jesus is dead. They ought to be celebrating. They ought to be happy. This ought to be the end of the story. But Jesus has already prophesied. He has already said. He has already taught that he was going to die. But after he died, 3 days later, he was going to get up. They were a part of those teachings. They were a part of those sermonic presentations. They heard the common people as they heard Jesus gladly. And now comes the time of truth. Well, you've got to be quite clear on the fact that though they thought they succeeded, now they're scared. Because now that he's gone, their mind goes back down memory lane. And they do realize that he did go to a graveyard one day, and his friend was dead. And all he did was say, Lazarus, come forth. And y'all know what happened. Lazarus got up walking with grave clothes on, and he said, y'all take that off him. Because one thing about folk who are alive, they don't like to be caught in nothing dead. Listen at this. I want you to understand something. That was a widow of Nain. They were having a processional. Jesus was on his way to town. They were on their way out of town. The woman was crying. This was her last bastion of hope, her support. Her son, he was dead. Jesus comes by there, sees what's going on. The mourners, the professional mourners, are weeping and wailing. Jesus goes by, and he touches the side of the coffin. The boy raises up and is restored back to his mother. They remember he did raise the dead. Jairus, one of the rulers, his daughter was at home sick. Jesus was in a meeting, and they came. He came to get Jesus, and Jesus said, take me where she is. And by the time he had gotten there, those who were there said, don't bother him. The girl is already dead. Jesus said, I'm sorry. Y'all have misread the situation. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And when he went in, she was technically dead, but when he came out, she was literally alive. They knew he had resurrection power in him. And they started thinking, well, now, if that same power that worketh in him, is it going to work for him? And they got scared. And listen at this, my brothers and sisters. So now we see the response of the Jews. Go back to verse 64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. That was the request of the Jews. But I want you to see the response of Pilate. Verse 65. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. You have a security team. Listen at this. Go your way. Be gone. Leave me alone. Get out of my, y'all know what he said. He says, make it as sure as ye can. They try to draw Pilate into this now. Pilate is already disturbed. He has already taken a basin of water before Jesus dies, washes his hands with it. He was trying to tell him, look, I don't want to have nothing else to do with this man. I messed up already knowing that I have allowed an innocent man to be crucified, condemned, and brought to death. He says, listen, don't come back in my face with nothing else about Jesus. And so he tells them to go their way now. They no longer have the support of Pilate and the Roman governor. They've killed him, and now they're scared because he just might do what he said. They wanted some reinforcement to be there at the gravesite just in case he does get up. We want somebody to make sure that if he gets up, he don't get out. We want some reinforcement to make sure some folk who know how to handle a situation like this to be there on the third day just in case what he says is real. And so I want you to see now we move from a secure tomb to a shaken tomb. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Talking about a shaken tomb now. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Verse 3 says, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Look at what happens here. Verse 4 says, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, I want you to see this word, my brothers and sisters, because when we look at this, there are some things that happen in this shaken tomb experience. First of all, you'll see the quest of the women in verse 1. And that's where the Bible says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they came to see what was going to be of the situation. Their quest was to get to Jesus to make sure that they were there for him. They had some unfinished business with Jesus. That was the quest. But when they came by faith, looking and expecting to see Jesus, even though their expectation was to see him in the tomb, the Bible says a great earthquake came, and it shook the tomb, and it was the power of the angel of the Lord that was present there who makes clear that he understands what their situation is. Here in verse 2 again, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat up on it." Now here God sends an angel all the way from heaven. They've got their security team who has already made sure that the tomb was sealed and there was a watch there. And he comes there by himself, rolls back the stone, sits on top of the stone. The men who were guarding the tomb stone had fallen over as if they were dead men. In other words, they had fainted and were knocked out by just the power of the angel of rolling back the stone. There they are lying down there like dead men. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are there looking for Jesus, and the angel of the Lord sitting upon the stone is saying, listen, I want you to see this in verse 5. And the angel of the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified." Listen, his anointing and his power was so grand. And listen, his very presence shook folk in a very magnanimous way. And he wanted them to know, first of all, I ain't got nothing bad to do to good folk. It's the bad folk that need to fear the angel of the Lord. He says, "Fear not, I know why you're here." And I want to tell you, he's not here. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters, because I want you to see this word. It is a not only a secure tomb for what they thought would prevent the resurrection of Jesus, but it was a shaken tomb that God himself had sent down to show them that there is no seal, there is no security team that can keep Jesus down and keep Jesus from coming out when God has already spoken what will be before it ever happened. There was no one who could turn the power of God, turn the prophecy of God, or turn around what God had prepared to be done in this time that Jesus would give his life. Jesus had done his part. Now God the Father was doing his part. He who had been given the care of Jesus' spirit when he said, "Into thine hand do I commend my spirit." Amen. God knew that at the end of that time, he would restore it to him and raise him from the dead. And God was faithful to do his part. And so I want you to see this. It is in verse 5 and verse 6 that we see something that's important. It's a special tomb. Yes. Tell your neighbor it was a special tomb. It wasn't a special tomb because it was a rich man's tomb. It wasn't a special tomb because it was Jesus simply borrowing a tomb. But it was a special tomb because this tomb had a part to play in the divine plan of God. Listen at this. It was a special tomb more than, and I want you to hear this and hear it well, not because when Jesus was placed in the tomb, there was a sign on the tomb then that said occupied. But it was a special tomb because when they placed Jesus in the tomb and with the seal made it clear that the tomb was occupied, that 3 days later, that same tomb that was sealed with guards watching on the outside to prevent Jesus from coming out now read vacant. Yeah. It was a special tomb. I want you to see this, because the tomb was empty. Go on to verse 5 with me again. It says, "The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Verse 6 reveals again this. He is not here. The tomb is empty.
See this in your mind. Angel sitting on top of the great stone rolled away from the door that he rolled from the door, the word records. He's sitting there. He's waiting. Not for Jesus to come out, because he did that and Jesus got out before the sun came up. But it was to make sure that those who wanted to know that he had risen was already risen and he was a witness to the resurrection. So when the women came, he already knew what they were coming for. They were coming to see Jesus in a buried and borrowed tomb. But the angel said, he is not here. And now it's not only empty, but he wants to show them the evidence. When you make a major claim like Jesus is not here, somebody wants to say, show me. Yeah. Now, the Romans, listen, crucified him. And the Jews have done what they have done in vain deceit. But God has raised him from the dead, and even his own disciples and followers doubted the fact that 3 days later he would bring to pass what he had promised and what had been prophesied, and they were coming back to finish all business. And the angel had to tell him, if you're looking for Jesus amongst the dead, you're in the wrong place. Do you not remember what he said? That after he would die, 3 days later, he would rise? And so I want you to see this word, because as it walks further down, he shows them the evidence. Look at what he says in verse 6 again. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. You know, if he had been like some of us with, you know, our arrogance and sometime, you know, just... He is not here as he said. Duh. What are you looking for him here for if you believed him? You know, but you know, of course, we act like we wouldn't have said that. Look at what the Bible goes on. Says, verse 7 says, and go quickly. Here's this word. And tell his disciples that ought to have been there waiting for the S-O-N and the S-U-N to rise on that third day. But he had to tell them, go tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. He's preached the message. Jesus is risen. He has shown them the grave where he was buried, and it is now empty. Word says in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Verse 10 says, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, they missed him at the grand opening. Some of y'all will catch that on your way home. I say they missed him at the grand opening. It wasn't going to be a repeat performance, one show only. The angel moved back the stone, and Jesus got up once and for all early that Sunday morning. They missed the grand opening, and never would they see that situation again. So he says, now there's going to be another showing. This time it's going to be in Galilee. Lord, y'all. Now, the women already had this word from the angel. Jesus is telling them, go tell my brethren to meet me in Galilee. Ain't no sense in you going back to the tomb. But one writer reveals that Peter and John did go back to the tomb to see for themselves. And just as they went there, they saw what the woman had said. The tomb was empty. He rose. Are you surprised? The tomb was borrowed. And aren't you glad Jesus doesn't do like some of us, borrow stuff? Mm. and never give it back. Jesus made clear, you know, some of us borrowers said, listen, I'm going to pay you Friday. And even, listen, if you can't pay it Friday, at least say, I can't pay it Friday. Let me give you another date. I'm going to try. But even if you pay it Saturday, you said you were going to pay it. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Or you borrow folks' stuff, and I got to tell you, if you borrow folks' stuff, you know it ain't yours. Even if they are too good-hearted to ask for it back, you know.